Matthew chapter 5, we're doing still the third principle, which is the principle of influence and responsibility. And last week we looked at the salt. You should be able now to tell somebody what it means to be the salt of the earth. You should be able to expound that to someone and show them they are the preservative of it. They are the covenant of it. They are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. Want to look at the next part of that principle? Let's read it. Chapter 5, and I'll read verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Got a lot to cover today. We're going to look at you are the light of the world. And the way I want to begin it, I want you to see, as you can see, I've done a word study. All of the notes that I'll be giving you concerning the Sermon on the Mount will begin this way. Every principle will be gone through on a word study. And this is how I basically form it and foundation it, because it is these words that gives you the enlightenment into what the Lord is actually trying to say to us. The first word, of course, is light. Ye are the light. That word is number 5457. It's phos. It means luminous. Sounds like phosphorus, doesn't it? That's where it comes from. Phos means luminous. And look what Vine says about it. Vine says, light is a luminous emanation, probably a force. And I love this. From certain bodies. He created what kind of bodies? Celestial and terrestrial. Right? From certain bodies, light comes, which enables the eye to discern form and color. By the light of an individual, you will discern their form and color. Whether they are dark or whether they are light, by the amount of light they give forth. And certain bodies give forth light. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness, color, was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be, somebody help me,
light.
And there was light. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but there was a time in my life when darkness was upon the face of my deep. But praise God, the Holy Spirit was upon the face of my waters, my world. And God said, let there be light.
Hallelujah.
And there was light.
Hallelujah.
And that's what that means to me. I've been studying the book of Genesis. It's taking on a brand new look. I want to have a seminar on the book of Genesis in a brand new way. The light, the thought of light, goes right on through the Bible, and you know that it does. Let there be light. You are children of the light. You are children of the day. God said in your life, one day, let there be light. I want you to turn in your word. Well, yeah, just go ahead and turn in your word to Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. I want to give you one more thought about this light. I mentioned it last week before I hit it right here again. Moses became a king to the nation of Israel. But one day, he was walking, he was keeping his sheep. And one day, the Bible says he turned aside to see a bush burning. Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, says that God was in that bush. And what I want to present to you is I am a bush burning. I have God in me. There's a Christ in me. There's a flame and there's a fire. And there's a Christ in you. And you are a bush burning. And from time to time, somebody will cross my path and they'll see my bush burning and they'll turn aside and they'll come see that bush burning. And the Lord's really been dealing with me as of late not to be such an expositor of the Word, but to get you to expositate. Is that a word? Sounds good. You get the meaning. To get you to teach and to share what's burning in you. Let somebody turn and come and see you burn. Change somebody's lives. Moses' life was changed and he became a bush burning. My life was changed. I became a bush burning. You hear enough. Hey, y'all. Hey, Terry. You hear enough in here to burn a lot of bushes. And you really need to share some of this that you're given. Because if you don't say it, if you don't speak it, you're going to forget it. And God's going to let some people cross your path who's going to turn aside and see you burn. Make them kick their feet off. Well, kick their shoes off. Take their shoes off their feet. And tell them the place that they're standing is on holy ground. You're a bush burning. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, the word world there that we just left in Matthew chapter 5 is cosmos. World. It means the orderly arrangement of things. It's the system. Cosmos. And Paul writes here in Philippians, and he says that you should shine as lights. Notice it's plural. It's plural. Lights. You shine as lights in a crooked, in a perverse world. You're in the cosmos, Jesus says. And Paul says, and you're going to shine. And let me just try to read to you. It says, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Now, from our word study that we've got right here, light is luminous and world is cosmos. And let me read that to you as I would write this particular scripture. If I translated it, you are the light of the world. I would say you are the illumination of the arrangement. You make it shine. You change the complexion of things. You change the darkness into light. You are the illumination of the arrangement. You are the light of the world. There's an arrangement of things. Now listen to what the Amplified says there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. Stars are beacons, clearly seen in a dark world. And when I read that, I really wonder, and I cry, and I hurt, because what I see is not stars shining out in a dark world. When I look at the world of Christianity as a whole, it seems that they are more part of the dark than are they part of the light. And when you look at their light and you do what this particular thought here that Vines gives us, you discern that light. You see, there's a lot more darkness there than sometimes there is light. But they said, Paul says here, that we should clearly shine. That you should be a beacon. You should be a bright star. And I thought, well, maybe they've got it under a bushel. And I'll talk a little bit more about this later. But the homosexuals have come out of their closets, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've come out from under their bushels.
Yeah.
When are the Christians? When are the Christians coming out of their closets and coming out from under their bushels and going to get set upon their lampstands? When? You should be clearly seen. Darkness is being clearly seen. It's a crooked, it's a perverse world, Paul says. And you should be as stars and as beacons. And it seems like every time I read something lately, it hits me that way. I really want to emphasize on you, don't be afraid to share the word that you hear in here with anybody. And if there comes to be a question about it, bring them here with you and let them hear me. And if there's a question, I'll take them home with me. And I'll sit down with them. And I'll show them the word. But you are hearing a life-changing, world-changing word. You're hearing something, and hear me by the Spirit. Jesus said this, "Blessed are your ears that hear these things." Now that sounds kind of tough. But you're hearing things nobody in the city is hearing. Better leave that. Let me get to my second point. A city on a hill. The first thing I want to point out to you is that there's a plurality of lights. You notice there that Paul does say that there are lights. You shine as lights in the world, plurality of lights. And when you come into a city at night, how do you know that there is a city there? You can see afar off, can you not? You know afar off that there is a city there. You know it's there because of the lights. Many lights. One light in that city will not tell you there's a light there. There's a plurality to this thing. One light in this body, in this church, is not going to show this people in this city that we are a city of believers here. There must be many lights. And we're coming through this thing, and I'm going to show you how it is your responsibility to put your light on the lampstand. Your responsibility to shine. It's your responsibility to glow. Now, I want to just touch this thought about city some. The first thing that the church is likened to is a city. Most of you know where I'm coming from, what I'm going to say. But let's look at a few scriptures. In the likeness of it, no matter how you look at it, the city cannot be hid. And the way I look at it is the city that the Bible speaks about, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, is actually the church. Whether it be Jerusalem, heavenly or earthly, no matter which one the Bible's speaking about, I see it now as the church. And whether that heavenly Jerusalem be a literal city, that's fine. I can handle that too. But the thing that I'm seeing is that for people to see the lights that are in the city, we have to shine as stars and beacons. Now, I want to look at just a few scriptures. Let's go real quickly to Psalms 48. Psalms 48. I know that it's in here. We're stars and we're beacons. We're a city. Verses 1 and 2. Very, very familiar scriptures, but sometimes when we read things, and I can point it out to you, and you can see it, it'll change some complexion and some thoughts that you might have on it. 48, 1 and 2. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Now, if you'll look here, hill that Jesus spoke of over there in Matthew chapter 5, it really means mountain. Somebody tell me what the Bible says that mountain is. Our mountain, our mountain. Anybody got it? Zion. Now let's go on. You're the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Now let's go through it again. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Where is He praised at right now? In the body of Christ, in the church. Greatly to be praised in the church of our God, in the Zion of His holiness. And if you listen to me much, you know that Zion is within you. And I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to teach on that, but I've showed you before, and I'll show you as we go through here. I'm not going to spend time right here. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. For the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. You see my thought. All right. Go on to, well, Hebrews chapter 12. I'll just skip one. Could go to Galatians 4, but let's just go to Hebrews 12. I feel like I'm taking a little bit longer than I thought that I would right here. Hebrews 12, we've gone through this before. We've talked about the city. Hebrews 4, chapter 12, I'll get it right, stay with me. Verse 18, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be what? Touched. Does that get into the natural senses? Touch, smell, taste, hear, see. Amplified says you've not come to the mount that is a material mountain. Uses the word material. And that burned with fire and on to blackness and darkness and tempest. Drop down. It's talking about Sinai. Drop down to verse 22. But ye are come. NIV says have come. Amplified says have approached. You have come. Already have done it. You have come unto Mount Zion. Anybody really been to Mount Zion that you could touch it in this room? Bible says you have. You have come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. You are the city on a hill, city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and, help me, church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, salt, we see salt in that, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That's all I need right there. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You're a city. You're the church. You're the heavenly Jerusalem. Revelation 21. And then I'll leave this alone. Just opening the Word to you. Opening it up. Expounding this thing a little bit to make your mind stir up. I want to stir up your pure minds. Revelation 21. Verse 9, the Revelator, John, says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the, what? Bride, the Lamb's wife. What are we? The church is the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the what? Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. You are the city, and you're set on a hill, and you're a light. Isn't that right? Are you lights? Are you a city? Verse 11, having the glory of God and her what? Light. Was like unto a stone most precious. Stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Where are they? Where does John chapter 14, verse 23 says that the Father and the Son make their abode in you. In you. Chapter 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Your light comes from the Lord God, and then they shall do what? drop their feet in the river of life for 1,000 years, rule and reign with Him. For how long? Ever. I said a lot here, I really have, and I hope you've heard some of it. You're the city. You're the heavenly Jerusalem. I've showed you Scripture. You're Zion. You're on Zion. 144,000 will be taken off of the top of Zion. I could just go on here. There's no need. I've opened it up. And you can take it from here. I've given you your thought. You're the light of the world. You're the bride. You're the church. Okay. Go back to Revelations 2. You're right there at it. How do I want one? Revelations 1 is what I want. Okay. Jesus says over there where we read previously in Matthew chapter 5, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Candlestick. And here in the first chapter of Revelations in the 20th verse, the mystery of the seven stars, what did Paul say you were? Stars and beacons. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in the right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Jesus says, put your light on a what? Candlestick. And a candlestick is what? Church. You're a star, you're a beacon. It is your responsibility to put it on the church, to light the church, to add your light to my light and my light to your light. And many, many lights come together and form a great light. Genesis chapter 1 says there was two great lights, sun and the moon. The moon rules the day. Now, okay. You with me? You're listening. You're doing good. Moon rules the night. The sun rules the day. You're children of the day. You're children of light. Take your light and put it on a candlestick. It's your responsibility to do that. Put it on a candlestick so that all men can see your good works. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But it's your responsibility. Right there, Revelations 1:20. The church is a candlestick. Put your light on it. Put your light on it. We're going to look at what that light really is in just a second. More of what that light really is. I want to hit two thoughts here. One is to put it's our responsibility to put it on the candlestick. But secondly, there are Lone Ranger Christians, I call them. They're out there doing their own thing and they don't need the church. Sons, they say. I'm a son of God. And I don't need the church. And this is a heavy thought I'm fixing to hit you with now. The church is a woman. She's the bride. Is that not right? But there are these Lone Rangers, these sons, who don't need the woman. Romans 1 calls it men with men. Calls it homosexuality. Don't need the woman. And what they do is spew the seed of God around all over one another in a homosexual act. And that'll stick with you. They don't need the woman. But men with men will not produce. And I can turn that around and show you churches that don't need the head, that don't need the man, Jesus. Headquarters will do it. We've got our own headquarters. We don't need to be led by the Spirit. We don't need the man. Flip-flop that thing. Women with women don't produce. Man needs the woman. The woman needs the man. And they become flesh of flesh and produce. To produce babies, we have to have the Lord. Because we're the woman. And that spiritual application. You understand that. Without Him, we cannot produce. But hear it the other way around. Without us, He cannot produce. And unless we put our light on the lampstand and let people see us, let people see our works, we'll never produce, we'll never influence, will never have the responsibility to one another, to this city, to our individual lives, or to our individual families that we need to have. Did you hear what I just said? Point four. Has everybody got my point so far? 1, 2, 3. Point four. Jesus says, and that light will give light unto all that are in the house. All that are in the house. Now, there's three basic houses that we as Christians have. The first house is your individual house. You are the temple, are you not? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost." John chapter 14, verse 23 says that the Father and the Son will make their abode in you. You are the house of God. First of all, there is an individual house that I have. Secondly of all, there's my home that includes my wife and my children and me. That is just as much under my authority as my individual house is. You see that? Third of all, there's the house of God. Us. Not this. Us. For Ephesians 2 will tell you, the last verse, that your lively stones come together to form the household of God with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. So there's three houses that we as Christians are involved in and must see our responsibility and our influence in. Individually, in our home, and then as a corporate body of Christ. You see that? Now, in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, Moses was up on that mountain, Sinai. He was in a high place. He was in a place of revelation. He was up on that mountain, and God said to Moses, "Moses, build me a sanctuary so that I can dwell with man, so that I can dwell with them." God's purpose is to come and dwell with you and dwell with me. We get it turned around. But anyway, his purpose is to come and dwell with us. But then verse 9, he says, "But build it after the pattern." Don't forget that. That is so important. You got to build a house, but you got to build it after the pattern. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Solomon builds a temple. Solomon builds a temple, and he instructed Solomon the same way. Build that temple according to the pattern that I gave your father David. Still gives him a pattern to go by. God filled that house of Moses. Moses built him a sanctuary. God filled it. God filled that house that Solomon built. Jesus says that it's expedient that I go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Ghost can't come back and dwell with you. And in Acts chapter 2, he did come back. And where does he now dwell? Where does God dwell? Where does Christ dwell? Where is it? It's in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. The principle, though, that I want you to see is there is three houses, and you're going to construct every one of them according to the pattern. Individually, in your home, and thirdly, in this assembly, this body, this gathering place. Us. First of all, us, new life. Secondly of all, us, this city. Thirdly of all, us, this nation, and then this country and this earth, and it just goes on. But it has to be after the pattern. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Has he given us the same orders? In effect, Jesus, do you remember the very first time that we opened up this study here that we're going through, the Sermon on the Mount? And I took so much time, and I tried to emphasize so much of you that Jesus was the type of Moses going up on the Mount. Do you remember that? He went up on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. It is a spiritual type of Zion, where in the Old Testament, Moses going up on the Mount is a Sinai, law and grace. You see that. You know that. But I want you to see here, you can now be wise or a fool. Chapter 7. Verses 24. Now, this is gonna do you good, because you're gonna see this in a brand new light now that I've done this. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a what? Wise man." What pattern has he given us? The Sermon on the Mount. "Who hears my sayings and does my sayings, then he'll be a wise man, which built a what? House." You're the house of God. You're the house of God. And Jesus says right there, what we're looking at right now is the thought of house. "Giveth light unto all that are in the house." You're a burning bush. You're the light of the world. And you're to give light to all that are in the house. Okay, verse 25. And the rain descended, and the tribulation came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was founded upon a rock, and it was built upon the pattern. Jesus is our pattern son, isn't he? He will to be conformed after his image, aren't we? He's our pattern. We're to build after his sayings. We're to build after his life. You can be a wise man or you can be a fool. It's a Bible promise. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, a fool, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the tribulation came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And just for good sake, let's do 28. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his sayings, his teachings. Here's the pattern. Here's the pattern that he's given us. Moses, build me a sanctuary, but build it after the pattern. Solomon, build me a temple, but build it after the pattern. Church, build me a temple. Build me a house, but build it after the pattern. In Psalms 127, it says that except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. And you can get into that thought with your family, because that's really what it's talking about. It says you can worry about it all day long. You can set up with it all day. Let's go to it. Psalms 127. Got to wind it up. You need to see this. I'm showing you the pattern. You're the light. Psalms 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In other words, unless you do it according to the pattern that he's given you, you're laboring in vain. Except the Lord keep the... I didn't know that was there. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain, useless, for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, for so giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's talking there about children, and it's talking there that you can sit up all day if you want to. And all night if you want to, crying in your bread, weeping and sorrowing. And you'll do that unless the Lord builds the house. Because unless the Lord builds the house, we're laboring in vain. It's useless and it's senseless and we're a fool. It won't work. Because when hard times come, it's going down. It's a Bible promise. It's a Bible promise. It will fall unless you build your house upon the pattern, upon the rock. I got a little off track. All right, let's get back over here now. Point five. Maybe somebody needed that. I'll take it that way. Point five. Good works. I wanted to point this thought out. Let's go to Matthew 5 real quick if you're right there at it. You're not, are you? You're over there in Psalms. Matthew 5. I'm going to read it. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, look at the word study. In that verse of Scripture, we have another thought here. The word let is the same word as light. It giveth light in verse 15. And shine is the same word. It's lampo. Let your light. It's lampo, your lampo. And I want to read that in the by the word study, the way that I would translate it to get the point across. Beam your luminous so brilliantly before humanity that they may see your beautiful toil and glorify your Father who is in the heavenlies. Let me say it again. Do you see here the word lampo and what it's saying, it brings out the thought. Let me make sure I've got the right words here. Lit is lampo. The word light is phos, this light. We have two different lights here. And then shine is lampo. Let or beam, the word lampo means to beam and to radiate in a brilliancy. Beam your phos, your luminous, so brilliantly before humanity that they may see your beautiful toil. The word good is beautiful, right here. The word works is toil. That they may see your beautiful toil and glorify your Father who is in the heavenlies. I got to get this across to you. Let means to beam. You're going to set your light on the candlestick. You're going to beam your light. Let your light beam so luminous, so brightly. Let it beam so luminous and so brightly and so brilliantly before man, humanity, that people will know that your beautiful works, your beautiful toil, is to do nothing but bring Him glory. Now, what I've said all this for and trying to get to is that word work. Do you see it there in verse 16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Good is beautiful. That they may see your beautiful works. Now that word in the Greek literally means toil. It's ergon. And it means toil. And it means to put forth an effort. It's laborious. Now, let me clarify this thing. Ephesians chapter 2 says that by grace are you saved, by or through faith, and that... Go to Ephesians 2. Works won't save you. You really need to see this. 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. See it? Same word. Same word. Not of toil are you saved. But it is toil. It is work to shine. It's laborious. You can't be a burning bush and you can't influence people unless you work at it. Do you hear what I'm saying? You got to hear that. It's laborious and it's toil. And it's the same word. Jesus says it's work. But works don't save you. Because if you could get into it by working, if you could get saved, if you could get into the kingdom by working, you're going to boast. That's what he says, isn't it? Isn't that what he says? Not of works, lest any man should boast. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that not many wise, not many noble, and not many mighty are called. Only us foolish things are called. And that's foolish in a different context than what I was using a while ago. You know what I'm saying? Amen. But to be this light that I'm talking about, to be this city that I'm teaching you about, to be this glowing, brilliant star, this beacon, this thing that you're going to set before men that's going to bring glory to God, and the only way... You got to see this. The only way you're going to bring glory to God is how. You didn't see it. Go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. You got to see this. You're not saved by works, but the only way you're going to bring glory to the Father is through your light, through your works. Look at it. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works, your toils, your labors, and glorify your Father which is in heaven or in the heavenlies. It is your responsibility to put your light on the lampstand.
You're going to put your light on the lampstand by toiling, by efforts. He's chosen you. Don't have to worry about that. Don't have to worry about being chosen or chosen anymore. It's done. From the foundations of the world, you were chosen. But what we do have to realize is there is labors and works involved in this thing. Two Greek words, I got to share it before we close, that means servant in the Greek. Diakonos, you've heard it. Doulos, you've heard that. But I'll go through them both. Diakonos, servant. It means me serving you and you serving me. It's man-to-man relationship. Doulos is a love slave under death. It's my serving him. It's my serving him in a love slave way. I do it because I love him. And the time when I stop doing it because I love him, and then I stop bringing him glory, and all my beautiful works turns into nothing but filthy rags. Jesus took all the commandments and he hung them on these two. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, strength, soul, and mind. That's doulos. That's my serving him because I love him. That's my putting my light on the stand. Then, he says, and then, love your brother as yourself. That's my serving you. That's my diakonos. I put my light on the stands by working for him and working for you. I become a servant, I become a deacon, and I become a doulos. It's work and it's toil. Now, you can do the same thing I've done here. Stand. You can do the same thing that I've done here. You can go through these things and see what these words mean, and I'll guarantee you, it'll light up your life. It'll change you. Has anybody enjoyed this?
Hallelujah.
It's a little difficult to teach because it's coming from a different perspective. But you're the light of the world. You have a responsibility to me. You have a responsibility to God. And you have a responsibility to yourself and to your family and to this church. And then you're going to influence them by your salt and by your light. You got that, don't you? You got that. Father, thank you for this time.